Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'm really glad you're joining us this Monday afternoon. Summer in New York means that our public parks come alive with free programming. There are concerts, movie screenings, and of course, theater. New York Classical Theater is currently celebrating its 20th season and bringing free theatrical productions of classics and masterpieces to the city's public spaces. This year, the company has reimagined Oscar Wilde's famous 1895 satire, The Importance of Being Earnest. But this is no ordinary interpretation of this acclaimed play. This production flips the script. The actors swap roles and genders every other night. To explain, joining us now is the director of the production and founder of the New York Classical Theater, Stephen Birdman. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about, first of all, why did you choose The Importance of Being Earnest for this? This is your 20th anniversary.
It is our 20th anniversary. The name of the season for us, our 20th, was Two Ways. I wanted to examine things from two different aspects. And this was a wonderful play, especially with what's going on in the zeitgeist right now, the Me Too movement and things like that. And the play, you know, the play's all about marriage and commodity and the power and agendas and things like that. So I wanted to flip it on its head. And what's so exciting about the project, a little hint, is you could hear things that you don't really hear a lot. Meaning like certain lines that just kind of like go past us, all of a sudden become very transparent in this seeing it both ways.
Oh, that's so interesting. So I said it in one sort of simple sentence. Can you explain to our listeners about how the actors and when they switch parts and roles and what happens there?
Okay,
so that doesn't end up being just a chaotic thing.
No. So very simply, every other night, the actors switch role and gender completely. So there's eight actors, four men and four women, and mm-hmm. the other knights, and then they play different roles, the opposite roles, their love interest roles across the love interest lines, and that's it. It's really pretty simple. They do the exact same thing, but hearing the words come out of a person's mouth in a different way is really exciting. It's really exciting to hear.
What is it about this play you think that makes that so, the swapping of roles and gender, so effective?
Well, it's very binary. This is an incredibly mm-hmm. binary time, written by one of the greatest gay icons of all time, Oscar Wilde, of course. And it deals with marriage in a very traditional fashion. It deals with money in a very traditional fashion. And I'm trying to describe this. It's really clear. The issues were really clear in 1895, and they're not, you know, and it's exciting to see us dissect the two. So it's really important that I think that people see both versions, because they really get the full picture that way.
Without putting you on the spot, is there one particular line that you found in the play that when you see it, you think this really embodies what we're trying to do?
The male characters often say, "You poor little thing," which is a perfect line. That mm-hmm. or you poor little darling, and our Cecily and Algernon pair are 14 inches apart in difference in height. So our Algernon's 6'4" and our Cecily's close to five feet, and mm-hmm. And then when they switch and she says to him, "Oh, you poor little darling," it's really like it's magic. It's super super magic, and people are always like, "Oh my god, oh my god."
What impact has it had on the traditional knights? And also, it may be the way that the actors are approaching the traditional knights. Has it changed that performance?
That's a great question. I think they hear the lines differently. I think they really hear the lines differently. I want to jump back real quick and tell you about how we rehearsed it, because I think that's really a fascinating story. So what we did was literally we staged the play, and every other page of the script we switched. And the idea was instead of like doing a scene and then switching it and doing the full scene, no, we didn't do it that way. I wanted all the actors, all eight of them, to feel like they owned the script. And that had an incredible effect on the production itself, because we would stage it and then you would switch it. And then so we had multiple opinions happening simultaneously. We also had a movement coach in the room with us, as well as a voice and speech coach. And how you attack it, both physically and for the period, is one thing, and then gender-specific movement, voice, and action. So it was really exciting to see this and see the embodiment. So one of the things we did, for example, we call it traditional and reverse. So when we did reverse or we did traditional, the female characters always wore a corset and a petticoat. So also when we did reverse, then they wore a corset and a petticoat. And it really just has a completely different, feeling on your body, where where your center of balance is located and how you approach things. We also had some, actually, this was kind of a fun thing. Both of our male lovers are tall. Jed Peterson's a little over 6, and Ademide Antekilo is 6'4". And we had to figure out how they would get kissed when they were playing the female characters and how it didn't look like they were literally bending over, because that would look very, how do you describe this?
Awkward.
Incredibly awkward. No, that's great. And so we had to find a way, and they do a combination of kind of a curtsy and a lean over, and the audience reacts really well when they see that.
I'm sure. My guest is Stephen Birdman. We're talking about New York Classical Theater's The Importance of Being Earnest. Okay, so we have the reverse casting and the traditional casting, and then you have, well, we're in the park.
Yes.
And you're moving around parks, we should say.
That is correct also, yes.
You're not just staying in Central Park. Let me give the dates. So you're at 103rd Central Park West from May 28th to June 16th.
Correct.
And then at Brooklyn Bridge Park, Pier 1, from June 18th to the 23rd. And then back to Manhattan at Carl Schurz Park at East 86th from June 25th to the 30th.
That's correct.
Talk to me about the logistics of moving a production to three different parks.
Well, actually, this is only three different parks. Last year, we did 5. So it's a lot. It's a lot. There's a lot of permitting involved. There's a lot of scouting trips. There's a put-in period for each show into each location, because the parks, of course, their topography is different.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that the play feels like it's been made special for that park. And we'll do changes accordingly, if necessary. So that when people come in, our goal is the show just happens to appear in the park. You don't see any of the backstage. You don't see any of the actors waiting for their cues. Mm-hmm. They just kind of naturally roam in and out, and we make it their own place.
Are the acoustics different in each park?
Yes, they are. And the acoustics are different at each location in the park. So that's where our voice and speech coach always mm-hmm. comes in, and that is very helpful for them. We have certain techniques we've developed. What we call it is panoramic theater. It's a different kind mm-hmm. of blocking. That's a technical term for the actor's movement on stage, which allows them to project without pushing their voice, because, of course, there's no amplified sound. It's done, as I like to say, the old-fashioned way. And they're able to reach. Saturday, we had about nearly 300 people.
Wow.
Without a problem.
Would you define panoramic theater? You mentioned it, but just to give us a little, our listeners, a sense of what that actually means and
okay,
entails.
So the simplest way is it's about first adapting the script for the location. So we're going to look at how we adapt it for the specific location. We're also moving each scene in each location. So as the play goes from scene to scene, we go from place to place around these venues. Our Central Park venue, for example, is about 12 acres in size. So and the audience walks 2 to 3 city blocks. And then internally, of course, we have different kind of blocking, which is stylized, but yet as soon as the audience kind of jumps in, it seems very normal to people.
I'm curious how the movement affects the audience.
You know what? Two things. Number one, we don't have an intermission. So the movement, number one, serves as that intermission. There's great audience bonding and incredible community building, and that's something we really love. So theater in general, unfortunately, is a rather financially segregated thing, mm-hmm. and not in our case. So about 30% of our audience lives at or below the New York City poverty line. They are meeting with people who are in the top 1%, and they're moving from place to place together, helping each other out, getting to know another, talking to a complete stranger who's not your friend who you brought with you. It's not just you, the person next to you, the person in the row behind and the row in front. You could meet hundreds of people each evening. We've actually had groups of people meet, and they come every year now together. They were complete strangers before. They just bonded over the shows.
What's something you've overheard from people, two people who maybe wouldn't necessarily have met, or a conversation you overheard which really made you think, we're this is right. This is what happens here, and this is what happens at the Free Theater in New York.
Well, let me talk about boys who are 12 to 15 who ride bikes in the park, who come upon our show. And
that's interesting.
Excuse me. They stop, and we walk up to them and welcome them and give them a program or a postcard. And they get very, very interested in what's going on. And they are fascinated seeing live theater, oftentimes for the first time ever. And we're an off-Broadway company, and these are all professional actors. And this is what they do for a living. And so my goal as the artistic director, the founding artistic director, was not only to make us accessible, but also if someone's coming, I really think it's their first experience, it should be of one of excellence. It should be one that they say, this was great, I'm going to come again. And we have a history of this. So back to your question a little bit, what's exciting for me right now, 20 years later, is watching, seeing those kids who I knew started in strollers, and they're now out of college, and they're coming with their boyfriends, girlfriends, or spouses, sometimes with children. And so it's seeing that longevity and seeing that this is a tradition that, and it's specifically for New Yorkers. We have, you know, about 99% of our audience actually lives in the five boroughs and New Jersey.
Has social media changed the company at all?
It's helped. It helps a lot. We have quite a big reach on social media, and it's our primary source of marketing. So, but people react really quickly to that, to websites and things like that.
I have to imagine for Free Theater, the social media is a dream in many ways.
It is a lovely dream. It's a lovely dream. Of course, it's tricky, but it's a lovely dream. It's a lovely dream.
My guest is Stephen Berman. We're talking about New York Classical Theater's The Importance of Being Earnest. It is playing in Central Park from May 28th to June 16th, Brooklyn Bridge Park from June 18th to 23rd, and Carl Schurz Park, East 86th from June 25th to the 30th. I want to make sure I get those dates out. So you started this theater. What inspired you 20 years ago?
Well, you know, I have a degree in computer science. And I think everybody's kind of like, what are you doing in theater? So I discovered Shakespeare in college rather late. And I got very excited by this idea that people should know about this incredible work of Shakespeare. We do mostly Shakespeare this summer. We're not, but we do about 70% of our programming is Shakespeare. And I wanted to make sure this was very accessible to everybody. I wanted to make sure it was there's no barriers for entrance. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to put down a lot of money to come in to see the show. You can come and you can bring your family and you can bring your children, even if they're in strollers. My son, who is now 11, we started in a stroller, of course, right? And then he started toddling around and moving up. So it was really important about this accessibility, about breaking barriers, about saying, come on, this is your first time. Just try it. We had some people actually yesterday in the park, which was kind of fun. It was a big rainy day, but it wasn't rainy where we were. And there was this family of three. And I said, oh, there's a show here in, you know, 5 minutes. And they said, oh, okay, we'll stay. And they stayed through the entire thing. They weren't planning on it. We get people who are running and they stop and they see us and they come down and they're like, and then they stop running. We have cyclists who are cycling around the park, and they do this, people walking through all the time. Literally, our audience will double or triple during a show.
How are you able to secure Central Park? I mean, you're a new company, and
we're not new. We've been there for a long time. So,
when you first approached the park,
when I first approached the park, okay, so no one was really doing it except for our friends at the Delacorte, and I spent about a month visiting different locations with them. 20 years ago, where we're at 103 in Central Park West, which is a glorious, glorious space, I must say. We have a 3.5-acre lake and all sorts of wildlife, and the birds this summer are exceptionally gorgeous. But I spent a lot of time just cultivating them and finding a good place for both us and them. And now the weekends are packed. We don't rehearse during the weekends on the afternoons anymore because it's such a busy space. But it's really romantic and beautiful. And that's another part I should say, was we rehearse outside, so people are watching us rehearse. That's great marketing too, not only social media. So people stop by, we hand them a postcard because they get to see it. They get a little snippet of what's going on. We want to make sure we're showing you what's behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah.
And how an off-Broadway show is being put together.
I think people get people get invested.
They do. That's exactly right.
When you show them behind the curtain.
And there's ownership, honestly. Yeah. There's owner, particularly people local, people walking their dogs, mm-hmm. people strolling, nannies with kids. They feel ownership about of our shows.
This is your 20th anniversary season. What else do you have planned? What big plans?
This is it for the season, because okay. we actually started in March. We did an indoor run of Ernest, and now we're bringing it out to the parks.
And
as
then
well.
Do you just get a break?
And we'll get a little break. We'll get a little break. We're continuing with our reading series called Diversifying the Classics. We actually have one tonight at 7 o'clock.
Oh, what about
It's a play called Lenora. It's an adaptation, a Jamaican adaptation of Ibsen's A Doll's House, which is very exciting. So we
did not expect to hear that this morning. Yeah,
there you go. I mean, you know,
that's
it's
great.
Our thing is we're really looking to serve everyone. I like to say that one day I hope our audience looks like a subway car, is as diverse as a subway car. That's my goal for the company. This is, Diversifying the Classics series is about finding classical plays and finding new adaptations that are exciting and speak to different cultural immigrant groups and different groups across New York City. So everyone will feel ownership, because there's a reason they're classics. These have been around forever. Everybody in Shakespeare, everybody's got families, things, and everybody understands all these things. And that's what Shakespeare's writing about. The jokes are high, the jokes are low. It's all exciting and for all different levels. It's, you know, Shakespeare was a man of the theater, and he made his living and very well. He made a very nice living for his time producing these plays, because they once were brand new plays. We forget that. And now, you know, now we can share that with other people as well in a way I hope that he would have liked to see it.
It's funny you should say, my friend and I were talking about that on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, this was brand new. Like, this was hilarious and brand new once upon a time.
Exactly. There was a Beatrice and a Benedict at one point there, you know, all these kind of things. These happened for the first time along, you know, 400 and change years ago. But it's a really an exciting way to introduce people, particularly children. Mm-hmm. And about 20, I think it's something, the exact specifics is it's about a third of our audience brings kids under 18. So this is a great opportunity for a first time to see this. All the shows are 2 hours, no intermission. And just walk up and, you know, if you want to make a reservation in advance, you can go to our website, newyorkclassical.org. Mm-hmm. And we will send an email in case we cancel because of rain. So that's a little perk. And we do now all green programs that are based on cell phones. So you'll get a program in advance. And it's a real exciting thing. We're really committed to New York and New Yorkers. We've played to over 250,000 people so far.
Wow. I'm thinking about when my son's 11 too, I would have loved to be able to go to the theater.
You can bring your kid in the stroller.
That's what's so great.
You could bring your dog.
Yeah.
Which is really
crazy.
You don't
need a kid sitter and a dog sitter.
Exactly.
It's affordable.
Bring them all. Affordable on many levels.
Exactly. Let me give the dates again.
Please.
It is currently playing, The Importance of Being Earnest is currently playing in Central Park at 103rd and Central Park West. That's until June 16th at Brooklyn Bridge Pier 1, June 18th to the 23rd, and then Carl Scherer's Park on East 86th from June 25th to June 30th. Happy 20th anniversary,
Stephen.
Thank you
very, very much. It's very exciting. We're thrilled to be here, and many, many more. We're getting excited. We're already getting revved up for next summer.
All right. My guest has been Stephen Birdman. He is the director of this production of Importance of Being Earnest and the founder of New York Classical Theater.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.